Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
You got your Bible? Hold it up and let's make our confession of faith. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Can you thank God for His Word today? Thank God for His Word today. Amen. Well, open your Bibles, and I encourage you to follow along and take notes, because at Church on the Rock, we're lifelong learners. Thank you for praying for me, and thank you for keeping those, I feel it, keeping it up. And pray that today I won't go wild, okay? After hearing those guys, amen, I wanted to feel him in my feet, feel him all over me. But I got to behave myself, okay? So I go back to the doctor Tuesday, and I want to get back to working out, so I got to behave myself. Y'all pray for me. We're finishing our series on Don't Limit God. Don't limit God. And I want to go to Psalm 78 first. Psalm 78, our foundational text. Psalm 78, and this is about a story. Now, stories sell and facts tell. Here's a story from the Bible. Of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt led by Moses. God wanted to take them into the promised land. Am I right? But they didn't make it in. It was God's will for them to go there, but they didn't go where God wanted to take them because they limited God. They stood in God's way. God's will, we learn from this, God's will is very rarely done in the majority of people's lives. God's will is very rarely done in the majority of people, human beings' lives. Where do you get that, preacher? 12 spies. Didn't they send out the 12 spies into the promised land to spy it out, to come back, to give a good report? 10 came back with a negative report, and 2 came back with a positive report, Joshua and Caleb. Notice the majority was wrong. The majority kept the rest of the whole nation of Israel from God's will in their life. So very rarely does God's will come to pass in the majority of people's lives because people get in God's way. We limit God. So how did they limit God? Let's look at it. How often did they provoke God in the wilderness and they grieved him in the desert? I don't want to grieve God today. Pray for me that I won't grieve God today. I want to please God today. How do you please God? With your faith, right? All right? Next verse, verse 41. Yea, they turned back, and we don't want to turn back. Our future is in front of us, not behind us. Our best days are in front of us, not behind us. You don't go through life looking in the rearview mirror. Yea, they turned back. They tempted God. And here's the word, here's the King James Version, here's the word, and they, this nation of Israel, limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited what God could do, wanted to do in their life. God's will didn't come to pass. What God promised them never came to pass. Just because God promises it, it doesn't mean it's going to come to pass in our own personal life. We have to cooperate. We have to work with him, right? They turned back. They tempted God. Now, we're to learn from their example. In our study in the last month, we went to the New Testament. We found out in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that we're to look at them as an example and learn what not to do. So we've been looking at together as a church community as what not to do so we won't limit God. They turned back. Tempted God, limited the Holy One of Israel, verse 18, or verse 20. wherever that is. They remembered not his hand. I'm looking at the second. Sorry, guys. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from their enemy. So here we see our foundational text. Human beings can stand in God's way of what he wants to do in their life. I don't want any of us to stand in God's way at Church on the Rock. That's why I've been teaching this for a month. I want you to have God's best. I want you to have God's abundant life. Everything that Jesus went to the cross and died for, I want you to inherit it. Your inheritance, right? Your redemption. Let the redeemed of the Lord complain about it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. All right, so next, let's go to the next unbelief. We found out was the first way they limited God. We looked at it. You can go on our website. You can get all this teaching. It's free. Number two, through their complaining. Through their complaining. We found out we can't be in faith and self-pity at the same time. I can't be in faith and be a victim at the same time. I can't be a victim, feel sorry for myself and complain, and be in faith at the same time. So he heard their complaining. He gave them what they were saying. And so they died off in the wilderness, and they didn't make it where God wanted to take them. Last weekend, number three, how they limited God. When they heard the promises of God, they did not mix faith with it. They did not mix faith with the word. Right now, I'm teaching and preaching the word. But for it to work in your life and my life, we have to mix faith with it. We can't have mental assent. I know that. I heard that. Grew up with that. That means diddly squat, right? No, you have to mix faith every time you hear or read a promise from God's word. They did not. And so that kept them out, and it limited what God wanted to do in their life. Next, guys. Okay. This is what I want to talk about today. They wouldn't fight for what God had promised. This is the fourth reason that we're discussing as we conclude today, how to limit God. Even though God promised it, God said, I've already given you the land. He said, now go in and possess it. He said, I've already given it to you. See by the eye of faith in your divine imagination. See that it's already yours, but you're going to have to go in. There's giants in there. You're going to have to fight those giants. You're going to have to fight. So the fourth reason that God couldn't do what God wanted to do and promised, because they wouldn't fight for what God had promised. I found that as a Christian, you're going to have a fighting spirit. Am I right? To be a conqueror and more than an overcomer, more than a conqueror, we're going to have a fighting spirit. Well, Pastor, I don't like to fight. We're not talking about fighting with people on social media. Boy, it's working now. It's working. Praise God. We're not talking about fighting with black people, white people, red people, brown people, rich people, poor people, Democrats, Republicans, independents, libertarians, know nothing. We're not talking about that, because our fight is not with flesh. It's spiritual warfare, right? But I found out that you're going to have to, if you're going to be an overcoming Christian, you can't be a wimp. You can't tiptoe through the tulips. You're going to have a fighting spirit. I remember in the seventh grade going into junior high. And remember, I lived in a different time, back when Moses was doing this, praise God. I lived in a different time, okay? But I'm in the seventh grade, and I keep getting beat up in junior high, right, brand new into junior high, going from grade school, seventh grade. I kept getting beat up by this one guy. Won't give you his name, but to protect the non-innocent, right? Dragnet. So anyway, I kept getting beat up, and I got tired of getting beat up. So I asked my mom and dad, would you get me a set of weights from JCPenney's and a boxing, a speed bag and a body bag? And so they did. For Christmas, I got that. Well, right across the street from us was a former amateur, a pro boxer. So I started lifting weights, and he came over, started helping me with the speed bag and the body bag. And it took, you know, to the eighth grade. But by the eighth grade, you know, guess what? That gentleman, young man, and I had fellowship. We met together. We had fellowship. And I found out I wasn't going to live that way as a victim getting beat up in life. that I was going to do something about it, and I was going to strengthen myself in the natural. And guess what? He never beat me up again, never gave me any problems again. I could walk that way to school and home from school, have no problems. What did it take? A fighting spirit. What's it going to take for you and I as believers not to live intimidated, not to live in fear, worry, anxiety? What's it going to take? A fighting spirit. So let's look at it. Now I think it's 1 Timothy 6:12. Okay. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. So what kind of fight are we in? A faith fight. Can you say that with me? A faith fight. The fight we're in is over our faith. Bottom line, every one of us in this room, everybody online, VR, soon to be Metaverse Church, all of us, those of you watching by television, all of us, our faith is under attack. Our faith is under attack. So the fight is all over our faith. The devil uses his tactics. We want to know his tactics. I did a little boxing in high school, and I want to know the tactics of my opponent. I want to know, did he have a good left jab or hook, or what was his tactics? Well, you and I have an enemy, an adversary, and that's the devil. What are his tactics? Here they are. If you're a note taker, lies, thoughts, and feelings. Lies, thoughts, and feelings. Now, he uses people, pressure, and problems. People, pressure, and problems he uses. But bottom line, he uses them to bring forth lies, thoughts, and feelings that contradict the Word of God. So we have to have a fighting spirit as a Christian. If you and I are not going to limit God, what he wants to do in our life, we have to fight for every promise he's made to us. It's not going to come easy. Things don't come easy. So fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Notice, fight. So we're in a fight, and the fight is over our faith. And what you're going through today is to get you to give up your faith. Give up your belief system. Give up on God. Give up on the Word. That's what it's all over. But we're to lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and you professed a good profession before many witnesses. Before many witnesses. Now let me read it to you from the Amplified. Fight the good fight. Now it's not a good fight unless you win. Right? So fight the good fight of faith. It's over your faith. What you're going through today, pressure, people, conflict, problems, is all over getting you to give up on your faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, which you were summoned and for which you, here's why I put the Amplified version, you confessed. The good confession of faith before many witnesses. Secret. The key to a good fight is connected to a good confession. If I'm going to win in the storm I'm in, I have to manage what I say. If I'm going to win in the storm I'm in, I have to manage my mouth and what I'm going to say. What we say in the storm is significant to the outcome. It's not a good fight. A good fight is when you win. So it's not a good fight, Scripture interprets Scripture, unless you're giving out a good confession. A good confession would be what? A positive faith confession. The language of faith is always positive. The language of faith is always positive. The language of faith is always positive. So when I'm negative, then I'm not in faith. The 12 spies, 10 came back with a negative report. They were not in faith. I can't be sarcastic and cynical and negative and be in faith. The language of faith, I hope I'm helping y'all. The language of faith is always, always, always positive over your children, your children's children, your husband, your wife, your future mate, your job, your ministry, your health, The language of faith is always positive. It's not a good fight unless there's a good confession. In other words, winning or losing is connected to what I'm saying. Winning or losing is connected to what I'm saying. Are y'all with me, family? Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Amen. How do I fight and win this faith fight? How do I fight and win this faith fight? Number one, with a good confession. Don't you love it up there on the screen back there? Isn't that cool? Guy's doing such a great job. With a good confession in the language of faith. Revelation 1:13. This is amazing. Revelation 1:13. And in the midst of seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about with the paps of the golden girdle. It's talking about Jesus now. Next verse. His head and his hairs were like white, like wool. This is the book of Revelation. This is Jesus. His head and his hair were like white, like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were a flame of fire. And his feet like that of unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice, this is Jesus now coming back, the second coming, okay? The sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Here's what I want you to see out of his mouth. And he's coming back, second coming, not the rapture, second coming. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. How does Jesus fight with his mouth? How does Jesus fight with his mouth? Revelation 2, verse 16. Repent, this is Jesus talking now to the church. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against thee with the sword of my... How does Jesus, our coach, our Savior, our high priest, our advocate, our Lord, our Redeemer, how does he fight spiritual battles? With his mouth. Y'all with me, everybody? With his mouth. Stories sell, facts tell. Story, Jesus, Luke 4, comes back from, 40 days of fasting. He's tempted by the devil. Spiritual warfare. It's over his faith. And how does he fight the devil? It is written. It is written. If Jesus fought his battles with his mouth, then shouldn't we then fight our battles with our mouth? And realize that words matter. Words matter. Can you say that with me? Words matter. We should make our words work for us and not against us if we don't want to limit God. So we need to be saying what God has already said. When Jesus fought the devil, when he came back from the wilderness of being tempted for 40 days and nights, he fought the devil with his mouth, with words. What were those words? It is written. He was quoting what was already said by his Father. Am I right? So repent or else I'll come unto thee quickly and I'll fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. So then how are you and I going to win the battle today for our family, our future, our health, our peace of mind, our nation, our country, our community? How are we going to fight and win the battle with our mouth? A good fight is always connected to a good confession. Wow. Can we have a praise break, y'all? Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus fights with his mouth. Number two, here's how we fight this fight and we win. We lay hold of the promises and we don't let go. Remember that verse we read, fight the good fight, and it said lay hold, and then it said good confession. Scripture interprets scripture. So the second way we fight this fight is we don't let go. No matter the pressure, no matter what people are saying, no matter what we're feeling, no matter those fiery darts, what's our thoughts, lies, feelings of the devil, we don't ever let go of what God's promised us. You don't ever let go. No matter how you feel, no matter what you're thinking, no matter what they're saying, no matter the pressure, no matter how long it's taking, you don't let go. You don't let go of the promises God's made to you. Y'all still with me? So, number one, you fight with your mouth, your confession. Number two, you're determined you're not going to let go. No matter how long it takes, how bad it looks, what you're feeling, if God said it, that settles it. We're going to say it, stand on it, till we see it come to pass. Am I right? We got bulldog faith. We're not going to let go. Got bulldog faith. So, number three, how do I fight this fight and win? I need to be in training all the time. I need to be training and feeding my spirit all the time. Not just when I'm in trouble. When you and I are in the heat of the battle, we will always fall back on our preparation. If I try to get prepared while I'm in the battle, it's too late. Foxhole prayers only work once in a while. So I need to be in training my spirit every day, feeding my spirit, training all the time. When being attacked, we will always fall to the level of our preparation. The most confident Christians are the most prepared Christians. The most prepared. I remember, you've heard this story, but I remember it all my life. You know, I was in Brazil, and I was preaching at an Assembly of God church there, a leadership conference, 24,000 members, three balconies. It was an amazing experience. And I'll never forget, the other speaker that was with me was from New York City. He was over Elam Bible College at that time. I'll never forget, he walked up to me, we never met before. He looked at me and he said, "Dave, your preparation determines your effectiveness as a leader." I never forgot that. And here we see it, don't we? That if I wait until I'm under attack, then it's too late. When being attacked, we always fall back to the level of our preparation. Marilyn Hickey always said, and by the way, she texted Kim this morning, and she said, "Pray for me. I'm in what, Delaware? Delaware preaching." How old is Marilyn? 85? 90. She's 90 years old. She's in a church in Delaware preaching. Text Kim and said, "Pray for me today." And we were complaining about our weather this morning. Hallelujah. Nobody at Church on the Rock, though, because we don't complain. Our neighbors might, but we don't. Hallelujah. So she always said that your ministry flows out of your relationship with God. It flows out of the overflow. So how do I fight this fight? I daily have to be in training. I daily have to be feeding my spirit, right? And how do we feed our spirit? Not through prayer. We feed our spirit through the Word of God, right? So watch this now. This is powerful. So then faith comes by hearing, not praying. You don't pray for faith. It's unbiblical. Faith comes one way, by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Watch this now. So this is worth brushing your teeth and coming to church and flossing. The same way that we get faith is the same way we lose faith. We gain faith by listening to the right thing. We lose our faith by listening to the wrong thing. I'll say that again. We gain faith by listening to the right thing. We lose our faith by listening to social media all day long and the news. We lose our faith by listening to the wrong people, listening to the wrong news, listening to the wrong sources. So the same way we gain our faith is the same way we lose our faith. So we need to take away from that point, evaluate how much time are you spending on the news right now, social media, emails. Is it feeding your faith or your doubt? Are you gaining in faith or losing your faith the more you watch the news, the more you hang around that person? Everybody still love their pastor. Okay, I sure love y'all. Amen. So we need to daily be training in training. This is how we get faith, and this is how we lose faith. We get faith by listening to the Word, and we lose faith by listening to the wrong thing. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Number four, how do we fight this fight and win? We have to manage our mouth. We have to manage our Our mind, I'm sorry. Manage our mind. Whoa. What are our enemy's tactics? Our opponent, who's the devil? Lies, thoughts, and feelings, right? Lies, thoughts, and feelings. Those are the fiery darts. So you have to manage your mind if we're going to win the fight that we're in. And the fight is all about your faith, getting you to give up on God and God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, we got weapons. Amen. The word is a weapon, right? Your giving is a weapon. Did you know that? Your giving is a weapon. Your praise and worship is a weapon. Oh, yeah. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? Anything that's strong and has a hold of you, and you don't have a hold of it. Anything that's strong, a habit that has control of you, and you don't have control of it, that's a stronghold. So casting down imagination, so an imagination, it can be a stronghold. It can be good or bad. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God would be what? The word of God. What does the word say? That's our filter. What does the word say? That's our filter. What does the This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Right? So anything that disagrees with this, I cast it down. I don't chew on it, don't meditate on it, don't think about it. Bring into captivity, looky, 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 everybody, bring into captivity every. Not once in a while, not some matter, some don't. It's okay, I can take a break today. If I'm going to win this fight, we're in a fight. If I'm going to win the fight, I need to know the tactics of my opponent, their strength and their weakness. The devil knows our weaknesses. The devil knows our weaknesses. Yeah, I remember one time, youth pastor, and the pastor and I, the pastor said, Dave, come here, we got one of our youth demon-possessed. They're coming in today, want to be set free. I go, oh, praise the Lord. True story. So this young guy comes in, and this is our first, Kim and I, our first youth pastor. This guy comes into the pastor's office, long story short, the pastor takes him to the sanctuary, and starts speaking to him to cast the devil out of him. He starts foaming in the mouth, tries to run all over the front of the place. The pastor jumps on him, not me. The pastor jumps on him, gets on his chest there at the altar, and starts talking to that demon. Another voice come out of the guy's mouth. This is a young teenager. I'm a youth pastor. And you know that devil started talking to me? And that devil started telling me about me as a young person, my weaknesses. Wow. Seriously. I'm thinking, who was there email back then? I saw some. Goodness gracious. So the devil knows your weaknesses, right? And you need to know his weaknesses. All right? Bring into captivity every thought. Everybody say every thought. Every thought. You and I can't afford a negative thought, a careless thought, a doubtful thought, right? A fearful thought. We got to be a better filter of that every day of our life if we're going to win the fight that we're in. Tactics, lies, thoughts, feelings are the fiery darts of the devil. Number five, I got to resist the devil. I got to resist him. When he comes with that lie, that thought, that feeling, you and I got to say no. Golden nugget, worth taking a shower to come to church today or a bath. When I stop resisting, I start losing. When I stop resisting, boy, the guys did such a great job back there. When I stop resisting the devil, how long are you going to have to do this, Pastor? Until you go to heaven. As long as you're on this planet, every day of your life, if we're going to win. The fifth key is resist the devil. When I stop resisting, I start losing. So when that lie, that thought, that feeling comes, immediately don't entertain it. Give it any room in your head. Say, no, devil, in Jesus' name, I resist you, rebuke you, get. When I stop doing that, I start losing. I start losing. So scripture for that is in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Y'all still with me? Yeah. As the team comes out, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, who's our enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he may devour. The Amplified, be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, who's the devil, it's not people, roams about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to seize upon and to devour. So you and I need a steadfast attitude. The next scripture, verse 9 and 10, if you got time, read all of it. And it goes on to say, be steadfast in your faith. Steadfast in your faith. What does that mean? Here's what I know. That I've seen some people be steadfast at the beginning of a battle, but then they wane and get weary in the middle of the battle, and they waver. You and I have got to be steadfast. Every day we resist the devil. Every day we work on a good confession. These are things none of us are perfect at, but we're to work on. We're to work on until Jesus comes back, right? So I got to have a steadfast. I got to be steadfast. I don't want to stop resisting, because the minute I do and wane and waver is I start losing. So you got to have a determined, steadfast attitude that you're going to resist the devil. So those are five keys on how we win the fight we're in. And today's subject was, they limited God because they didn't want to fight for what God had promised. My brother and sister, there are giants in front of your healing, giants in front of your family, giants in front of your marriage, giants in front of your ministry, giants in front of your sleep, giants in front of your breakthrough, and you and I are going to have a fighting spirit, develop it with these five tactics, face our enemy, chop that giant's head off, and win the battle. Come on, somebody. If you got something, give the Lord a praise, would you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heads are bowed, and eyes are closed, and no one moving. I want to throw out the lifeline to everybody online, everybody on VR, soon Metachurch. Those of you watching by television, you know, if you don't have a relationship with God, today's your day. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. God is not your problem. God is your answer. Don't look at Christians. Don't look at churches. Don't look at people. Look to him. He not only wants to be God, but he wants to be your father. And he wants to put you in his family. And he wants to help you, comfort you, strengthen you, guide you, lead you. He has a purpose for your life. But you have to open the door. He says, I knock on the door. And if any man will hear and open, he'll come in. You say, Pastor, I want God today. I want to give my life to God today. Or, Pastor, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, but Pastor, I realize that I've been losing the battle. I realize there's been some compromise. There's been some things I need to repent, adjust, consecrate anew. Pray for me. Punch the button on your computer, your smartphone, because faith is an act, and y'all need to do something. You can't walk to the front here, but you can punch the button on your screen and follow up with the classes and the small groups and follow up right there, the next step. Here in this room now, God's speaking, God's moving, God's giving an opportunity. He's the God of a second chance, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth. He's a good God. Daniel sang about it today. And you say, Pastor, I need God. Maybe you're visiting for the first time. Maybe you've been coming for years. Kim and I did an internship when we got out of college, and the people that we lived with, he was a Baptist pastor for years, a Baptist pastor. And he told me one day, he said, Dave, I was a Baptist pastor for years, and I wasn't even born again. He said, I wasn't even saved. So you know, it's a relationship, not a position, right? It's a relationship, not religion. It's not a man thing, it's a God thing. And you might be visiting, or you might have been here for years, but you see, Pastor, I want a relationship with God today. I want to give my life to God today. I want to surrender it all to him. I want to consecrate my life to him. Or, Pastor, I love the Lord. You know I do. But Pastor, again, God's dealt with me today to adjust, correct, to renew, to revisit, to a new consecration, a dedication. Pray for me. If that's you, faith is an act. If that's you, nobody's going to come to you. But in all the sections, if God's speaking to you and you say yes, lift your hand, would you, high, unashamedly. Thank God for the freedom to do this. Just lift it up high. Wave it at me, every section. Christians are praying under your breath. Let's don't move too quick. There's still some people. You need to lift your hand. You need to make the decision. Do it now. There's no better time. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray this prayer right now. Church, let's help everybody. Let's pray it together. Heavenly Father, I repent. I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me, and He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive You now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.